as Kalila said, it's 100% chance because it's raining right now, as a matter of fact, outside. She's my guest next as we talk about Shepherd Square. Now, the U.S. Housing Department of Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan was in Louisville yesterday announcing a $22 million grant to revitalize the Shepherd Square public housing development and that surrounding community. It's part of the HOPE 6 program and will be used to tear down the current development and then replace it with mixed-income housing. Secretary Donovan praised Metro government's innovation and history with the HOPE 6 program, and he promised yesterday that everyone displaced would be able to return to the new development.
One of the reasons why we funded this application is because every single unit of public housing is going to be replaced here. There is one-for-one replacement, okay? So every one of those, the least among us, is going to have a place to live.
HUD Secretary made those comments in response to Reverend Charles Elliott, who voiced his concerns regarding the displacement of low-income residents. We're going to talk about this. The Executive Director of Women in Transition in Louisville is with us, Kalila Collins. This is a grassroots organization that works for economic rights, including the right of housing. What's your reaction to the plan?
As always, my first concern is where the residents are going to be housed. We have a huge housing crisis in this city where affordable housing is lacking, and so displacing 300 more families definitely scares me.
So even temporarily, that's an issue for you.
Yes, I mean, because we have, you know, tens of thousands of people on waiting lists across the state, waiting for housing vouchers or housing opportunities, and so adding more to it scares me.
Have you heard anything about that plan in the interim while the project is being torn down and then rebuilt?
Well, they, according to HOPE 6 standards, they get access to housing, and so that's a plus of the HOPE 6 grant, that they are guaranteed houses outside after leaving the development. However, the question is what happens to them in 10 years or in 5 years or 2 years when they can't pay their, you know, high LG&E bills or their water bills they never had to pay before, or the rent gets to be too much, or they have to fix a leak in the bathroom or whatever. Like, what happens to them then? They can't maintain their housing arrangement.
So just so I have this right, that's a concern you have, not only for the interim housing where they're going to go, but once they come back into the newly redeveloped housing, it's probably going to be pretty nice, but they could face rising costs there beyond what they'd expected.
If they get back in is the question.
And what do you think about that? Are they going to get back in?
Well, I think that the stats from across the country show that under 25% return back to the housing developments. And so if they think they're coming back in, they're not always. And so he made a comment yesterday that they have first choice to come back in or first right to come back in. But we see the numbers across the country show that that's not always the case.
Why is it so low? Why is it 25%?
The research we've seen shows that the requirements to get back in are such that they can't make the requirements to get back in, even though they have the first choice. Do they have access to income requirements? Do they have different housing department or whoever makes the standards? It depends on who's running the program at the time, whether it's private developers or public developers. They put things on there such as if you missed any rent payments or different things that make people not able to come back in once the
So the requirements were different at one point you got in, and then
right.
to come back to the new housing that you think you have a right to.
You have new requirements to meet. And so you may not necessarily meet those requirements. And so the housing that you once had that was stable has been taken from you, and now you cannot go back to your original neighborhood.
One of the parts of this plan is the idea that, you know, when it's high density and a lot of people who are poor together, there are problems that develop. And if you reduce the density a little bit and you bring in mixed income people with a lot of different incomes and put them together, life gets better. But does that actually create a problem where fewer poor people can get in just because some more of those units are going to people of, let's say, moderately better income than that?
Well, the history, especially here in the city, has been they tear down 300 units, let's say, and they rebuild 300 units. They use this one-for-one replacement language all the time. And so what happens is they do replace one-for-one. However, not the same size and space as the original ones were, or that one-third they're divided into, you know, thirds. And so only one third is typically used for low income. And so although you displaced 300 families, you only have 100 units that are available for them to get back in. So that's also a deterrent from coming back in as well, that the number of units are less.
Now, if I understand them correctly, in this particular development, there will be more units, something like 120 or 130
units.
That's
what I heard, but it's still, you're displacing 260 or however many odd families that from the original development. And so you also have, you're breaking up communities. I mean, there's a huge problem in breaking up people's social networks. Their, you know, their families, their communities, their child care assistance, like whatever they had going on in that neighborhood, that's now gone. Their access to the Broadway bus is now gone. Their access to a local person who they know can get their check cashed or whatever the case may be, that's now gone. And so you tear up their social networks, and that's important to people.
Yeah, fabric of the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in and talking with us about this.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We've been spending a few minutes, and we're going to need to do more on this. This is going to be developing over time, but Kalila Collins, the Executive Director of Women in Transition in Louisville, grassroots organization. Let me give you their website, WITKY, Women in Transition Kentucky, WITKY.org. Here and now from 89.3 WFPL. Yet to come this afternoon, we're going to continue to look at some of the top news of the day. Also, just ahead, Tap Dance Day. It's coming tomorrow. We're going to talk with the author of an autobiography about tap dance coming up.